Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Pets with belly too, and we're putting it all in a podcast, then we'll send it up into the sky. We're calling it Pods and Recollection. Come on, little podcast, spread your wings and fly.
Well, everybody, you found us. Parks and Recollection, it's happening. It's on. It's me, Rollo, otherwise known as Roblo. Otherwise known as Chris Traeger, and the great Alan Yang.
What's up, Rollo? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. We're in like a good vibe with these episodes now. They're just one after another, all super fun. Today's is another really, really good one.
Yeah, we're in the heart of a good stretch for the show. Some would say in the peak, the mid peak of the show. And I was excited to rewatch some of these and kind of remember where we're coming off of the Harvest Festival arc and all that stuff. So yeah, this is a good one.
And you wrote this one. You wrote today's episode.
I have a writing credit on it. Yeah, well, just to clarify, if people don't know this, just because your name's on it, it means that you probably wrote a first draft of the script, and then everyone kind of works on it. So everyone works on it together to break the story, and you go off and you write a draft. You come back into the room, and you know, some of your stuff stays in, and some of it gets rewritten. But yeah, my name's on this one, and a kind of fun thing I did was I pulled out my original writer's draft of it and found a few things here and there that stayed in, and we can talk about that down the road. But let's get into it. Let's do the details.
Let's do it.
Episode title, Soulmates, Season 3, Episode 10, written by me, Alan Yang, directed by Ken Whittingham, a very lovely man, big fan of Ken's. Original air date, April 21st, 2011. The blurb, Leslie is matched up with Tom on an internet dating website, while Chris and Ron compete in a hamburger cook-off. Legendary
B
story. Legendary B story. Let's rifle through some notes very quickly. After the episode aired, we launched a fake website called whosyourmate.com. That is the fake dating site that is introduced. Another notes note, Tom suggests that Point Break be remade. The film was remade 4 years later. Point Break 2015. So that's kind of prescient on behalf of the show. Take that, The Simpsons, the Parks and Rec sometimes predicts things as well. The actor who played one of Ann's suitors wearing a cowboy hat is Josh Pence. He played the part of Tyler Winklevoss in The Social Network before his face was replaced in post with Army Hammers. And don't forget, Rashida was also in Social Network. I heard they're also going back and now replacing Army Hammer's face with Josh Pence's face.
That's exactly right.
And lists Hawaii, Paris, and the Grand Canyon as places that could be Leslie's favorite, other than the bench across from the Wildflower Mural. All of these locations are settings for later episodes.
So this whole episode is full of future casting.
I mean, it's really whatever we were kind of doing at the time. Maybe that writer's draft had some stuff in it that was prescient later on. All right, let's get into the synopsis. Chris enacts a government-wide health initiative in Pawnee. Thank you very much, Chris. Starting by banning red meat from the City Hall commissary, much to the displeasure of Ron. He challenges Chris to a burger cook-off to prove red meat is superior to Chris's preferred lean meat, with red meat staying on the menu if Ron wins. Meanwhile, Leslie invites Ben out to dinner, but he turns her down, leaving Leslie confused because she was sure Ben was attracted to her. Anne, who's now dating multiple men after taking Donna's advice to be more adventurous, tells Leslie to join an online dating website. called whosyourmate.com and helps set up her profile.
That's a lot. It's a lot going. It's a lot, but it's super simple. That's what I
like. It is very simple. It's the first like 2 minutes of the show also. That's like literally like the first. And it is very simple. It's Ron and Chris cook burgers. Leslie gets on a dating site. It's like, that's pretty simple, you know?
What is I think it's Chuck Lorre has a thing about comedy. Any comedy scene, if it's about one thing, it's good. If it's about more than one thing, it's bad. Something like that. Is it a truism?
There's something about that. One thing that Mike would always talk about in the writer's room was simply clarity. Just literally knowing what's going on and what all the characters' intentions are and motivations are helps you laugh and helps you really puts you in a state of mind where I'm not confused. I know everyone's attitude and I know why these people are making these jokes. Sometimes you have to. You do a big conference room scene and you have to set up two stories. Then it's like, oh yeah, also remember this. It just gets clunky. We've all had to do it before. It's happened before. Little fun fact about this episode. This episode was kind of an exercise in legal clearance because I saw my first draft of this script and the title of the script is not Soulmates. It is Match.com. Because it was just called Match.com. So in the script, this is one of several legal clearance issues that I realized while skimming through the writer's draft. It was like, we just called it Match.com. We didn't have a funny title for it or anything. It's just called Match.com. So, and this was, by the way, it was before app dating. It was before Tinder and Raya and Bumble and whatever. It was Match.com. I think that was it. And maybe OkCupid or something. But yeah, all this dating stuff, I think postdates you, Rob. You've been yeah. happily married since all this happened. Yeah.
Since the Stone Age. Yeah. I like to think that, if online dating and swiping and DMing people was a thing when I was single, I would have been so exhausted. I would have died an early death.
It does. And by the way, celebrities are on there.
That's what they say.
Yeah. You can just find them. I had friends who matched with like Matthew Perry. I don't even know. I'm making that name up, but there are tons of celebrities on there. So I don't know. I don't know if you like dating celebrities, I guess get on some of these apps.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Leslie's original description of herself on the dating site, yellow-haired female, likes waffles and news. very simple. I feel like this episode and the next one we're about to do, I think you probably like these episodes. They just go for the comedy, you know, yeah. Just like joke, 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 joke. They're very lively. They're very fast. And like you said, there's a simplicity to the stories. But yeah, I mean, that bio would get you going in the current dating state. I mean, like
yellow-haired, because it is true. She's, yeah, Leslie has yellow hair. She does.
She just like, I actually just missed her. I went to the Russian Doll premiere party and I just missed Amy, but I was texting her after and like, I think she just likes making stuff behind the camera, which is like pretty awesome. She's directed a bunch of movies and she just made a documentary and she's producing a bunch of shows. It's like, I don't know. She always had that in her and she started directing, I think, on Parks and Rec. So kind of cool.
And she's good at it.
Yeah, she's very good at it. Also, let's not forget Sewage Joe, a recurring character, Kirk Fox. You know Kirk Fox. I don't think this is his first appearance, but it's kind of a larger appearance for him. He kind of sets up a story that like maybe, shall we say, less desirable people start to be interested in Leslie while she's trying to navigate her love life.
It's one of my favorite lines ever. He says, "If you're looking for a good time, why don't you come on down to the toilet party?" That's what we call the sewage department.
Yeah, he uses toilet party as a brag. He's like, it's a fun thing to do. It's a fun thing to do.
So gross. Sewage Joe's always, he's one of my, I've always neglect to put him on my list of favorite Pawneans. He's definitely one of my favorites.
Let's not forget to use toilet party as a location for a town hall someday. That's what we call the sewage department. Another piece of trivia. We mentioned Josh Pence, who is an actor who plays one of the guys. So in this episode, the idea was at the beginning of every scene Anne enters, she just kisses a different guy. It's just a tiny like mini joke in the background. So Josh Pence was one of Rashida's friends who came in and he's an established actor. The first guy who kisses Rashida when she walks in is not an established actor. In fact, it was my roommate, James Harvey, who was just a guy I went to college with. And I was like, he's like kind of a handsome guy. He played football in college. And we were like, yeah, James, just come in. He actually lived in a house with me and Aisha Muhar, who was another writer. So we're like, James, just come in. Just it's easy. You just show up and you have one line. I think he has to say, he says like, bye, babe, or something like that. The dude, he's a very handsome guy, but he's very shy around women. And so he got on set and he's like, I don't know if I could kiss her. Like, he had a girlfriend. He's like, I'm like, you just have to kiss her on the cheek. And so it's Rashida Jones. She's an attractive person. And he was really, he got through it, but I was just laughing on set because he's like this jacked, handsome guy. And he just was so nervous to kiss Rashida, say bye, babe, or whatever he says, something like that, and then walk away. But you'll notice he's in the first scene. He weirdly has a ponytail. I don't know why we did that to him, but he kissed. That's my roommate, James. He's now happily married with kids, lives in Pittsburgh, I believe. But yeah, that's him.
That was his one. That was his shining moment in show business.
Yes, exactly. He didn't have to audition. Just had to walk in, kiss Rashida, and leave. I found that very funny to see. Let's get into the rest of the synopsis here. Leslie finds a match that is 98% compatible with her. A soulmate level rating, hence the title, but is horrified to discover that it is Tom. Additionally, the crude sewage department employee Joe makes a romantic advance toward Leslie, prompting her to launch a douche investigation to find out why she attracts the wrong type of man. Meanwhile, Chris takes Andy, April, and Ron to a health food market called Grain and Simple, where he gathers numerous ingredients for the perfect turkey burger. But Ron is unfazed, simply buying a pound of red meat from his favorite food market, Food and Stuff. So this starts to get really fun. I don't know if you remember shooting this stuff, but I believe we went to a Sprouts. Is Greg, do you remember this? I think it was a Sprouts in the Valley. And another fun fact about legal clearance in the original script. In the original script, he's just going to Whole Foods. He's like, we're going to Whole Foods. Like, it's just about, literally about Whole. I'm like, literally looking at the script, it just mentions Whole Foods over and over again. And it's kind of like satire because it's Ron saying like, oh, I've heard of Whole Foods, but I've never been there. And maybe I want to see like what's going on there. So there is that that talking head that I actually think came out very funny, which is like, do I ever go to Grain and Simple? No, but I come here for the same reason I go to the zoo, like to see who's here. And then he points to a white guy with dreadlocks and he says, look at that thing. And it's like the casting on this guy is really funny. Like it's like, it's just really good BG casting on this guy. So kudos to the casting department on that.
Well, that's the things that people, you know, when you wonder what makes a show a great show, the difference between a bad show, a good show, and a great show is sort of the attention to detail like that. Like that. If that guy in the background isn't exactly right, that joke doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's a little thing. He's a background artist. He's literally in 3 seconds.
Yes.
Of the show.
And he looks real. He looks funny, but he looks real. It's not over the top. Sometimes they'll dress him up in crazy wardrobe. It's like, no, he looks like a guy who maybe lives there and is plausible. But I remember this being a lot of fun shooting. Remember shooting this with Pratt and like pushing him around the card and like him opening that. So at one point he opens a coffee bean dispenser. I think that was made up on the day. I think we were just talking to Ken Whittingham, the director. I'm like, yeah, let's just open this up. And, you know, I think we just had some improvs all around. You know, some of it was written and some of it was just, you know, you guys messing around.
Yeah, my memory of it was A, that market, wherever the hell we shot it, was in the middle of nowhere.
Yes,
and,
for sure.
And we were there before the sun was up.
Yes.
It was so early. And but it's one of the most fun days I had because my stuff was mostly with Pratt. And we literally just ran amok in that store. And the cameras followed us. And we did the scenes, certainly, but we also did a lot of what we call B-roll, which is just us doing stuff that you can cut away to. And that's where Chris is. He's in the cart. I'm pushing him. The coffee thing, I remember, was just an idea that Pratt did, and it made it into the cut. We were just goofing around. We're like, oh, that looks like fun. Let's go over there. And we literally just ran around to areas and had fun, and the cameras followed us.
Yeah, I remember distinctly, because it's a good group of people. It's 4 actors from the show, you know, along with me and Ken, and just kind of making stuff up. And, you know, the name, by the way, the name Grain and Simple was made up by Harris Whittles. I remember that. And the name Food and Stuff was made up by me, because I remember writing, that's in the original script. It's like, you know, the talking head. It's like, I love Food and Stuff. It's where I get all of my food and most of my stuff. And like the scene where I also like in the cut, I've enjoyed the scene where, you know, Ron and April have this sort of father-daughter thing going, right? And there's the guy giving out samples. He's like, would you like to sample our vegan bacon? 100% meatless? And Ron says, yes, please. He throws it in the trash. Another please, throws it in the trash. And he says, sir, is there a problem? And then he's like, I'm making sure no one else ever has to eat this. And then I don't think I can give you any more. And then April asks for another. She throws it away. Just this little bonding moment between the two of them. And I love how it's almost like you guys are two dads for April and Andy. Like there's the healthy dad and the unhealthy dad. And it's just such a sweet sort of bonding scenes between the two of you. So shout out to Harris for Great and Simple. And I believe the Skittle sandwich as well, kind of adding on to the script. But yeah, just a lot of fun. A lot of food in this episode. Mm-hmm. Really quickly, the Tom talking head about apps and zerts became like a kind of like an internet, again, sort of a meme thing, like shortening the you know, basically shortening words and coming up with alt names. Like I remember writing that talking head. I remember like sitting in my backyard writing that talking head. It was kind of like based on stuff that Aziz and I would do. And then it's kind of an interesting look into the process of making the show where we brought that in the script, you know, we rewrote it a bunch and then everyone in the writer's room pitched in more names. And then Mike wrote a bunch of names and we got to set with the talking head. And then Aziz added more things. So it's kind of like, you know, Aziz is adding chicky chicky parm parm and whatever. And then like, you know, that's all. It's a kind of a collaboration between the initial writer, the writer's room, and then the actor on
set. What's your favorite? So. Mine is for sure chicky chicky parm parm.
Chicky chicky parm parm. Chicky catch for chicky catch Tori. I like food rakes for forks. I like long ass rice for noodles. By the way, like long ass, like long rice. And then later I traveled to Hawaii and they have a dish called long rice and it's noodles. It's just like vermicelli. It's like in Hawaii, you can get long rice. They call it long rice. Adorable name. It's like, that's cute. It's long rice, but it's noodles. But yeah, those are all. I remember also being in the writer's room and having a lot of fun. Just like there's 10 people sitting around pitching idiotic names for food.
By the way, you know, it's funny that that is what's great about being a comedy writer is that you get paid to sit around pitching. What would be a funny way to say hot dog? You guys all went to Harvard for fuck's sake.
I mean, it's a waste of a lot of brain power and a lot of time and a lot of the studio's money because you're just sitting in there. You're literally talking about, you're like, should we call root beer super water? It's like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. It's like, eggs are pre-birds or future birds. Like, this is dumb. This is just legitimately dumb. And then not only that, think about how many are in the cut. Like, there's like 10 in the cut. That means there are 100 on the page. That means that got culled down. You know, in the writer's first draft, it's like, I call sandwiches like, Sandoozles or Adam Sandler's. That's in the writer's draft. Then you add 50 more of those, right? It's like, but yeah, I agree. And you know, now having done, and you can totally understand, like, we've both done a little bit of drama, a little bit of comedy, a little bit, you know, everything. It's like, there's something great about comedy and like coming back to a comedy writer's room and just sitting around like you're wasting 80% of your time. And then the rest of the time you're getting to write silly stuff like that. So it's not all fun and games, but a lot of it is, to be honest. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right. In her investigation, Leslie quickly learns Joe merely hits on any woman as long as she's not elderly. She takes Tom out to lunch to learn more about him. He responds to all of Leslie's questions with his usual chauvinistic answers, annoying her to the point that she admits she took him out because they matched on Hoosier Mate, formerly Match.com. A delighted Tom teases Leslie the rest of the day by pretending they're a couple, but she finally silences him by kissing him. Chris notices the kiss and warns Leslie that he has a strict policy against workplace dating. That shot is very funny where it's like the classic, like sitcom act two break. She can't first of all, like there's a big buy that to silence him, she kisses him. It's pretty funny, but it's also like, you just got to get there. And they had a really kiss, right? They had a really, and you pan over and you see you looking your most authoritative. You're like, Leslie, like it's very, I mean, it's the boss is watching you. Do you like playing the boss? It was kind of fun. You come in and get to be the boss, right? That's kind of fun.
It is. I have to, in all honesty, playing the boss as Chris was maybe my least favorite thing about, I know when I had to do it, and it all is still vestigial of the original concept of Chris coming in with Adam and being the guys cracking the whip and maybe almost not, they were never going to be villains, obviously, but a little bit of adding a little bit of conflict to the show. So
absolutely.
So there's still a little bit of that we so quickly moved away from that when I was asked to do some of it, like in this, it was a little jarring, but the other part of it was, again, all honesty, I always felt like this, and we'll talk about it more, where the no dating policy came from, because it does apparently come from, you know, Mike, sure. But I also felt like it was a little bit of a straw man to set up. So you got to make sure that there has to be a reason that Ben and Leslie can't be together. And I was like,
Put an obstacle up.
Really? That's kind of weird. Listen, I'm just saying, I always thought it was a little bit of weak cheese. But that's just me, and I'm not a writer, and what do I know?
Gotta have obstacles, Rob.
Guys, I don't know if you felt this, but watching that scene of Amy kissing Aziz, there's a comedy version where she could have just kissed quickly, right? And just like shocked him. But it was like a nice kiss.
I think she really kisses him. She followed the assignment, which is to somewhat make the kiss. It's like, it kind of impresses Tom. It's like, that's the story. And so she does like a real version. It's not like a comedy kiss, which I think ultimately was the correct story choice. It wasn't like over the top or anything.
But do you remember if you did alts on the kiss? Did you do the comedy kiss and then went with that version?
I can't say I have an exact memory of how many takes they did, but my guess is, and Ken's a good director, is you got to get levels. I think you would at least get 2 to 3 levels of that kiss, depending on how comfortable the actors are. It's like, hey, are you guys cool doing another one? Like, I certainly, if I were directing that scene, be like, look, we got to make sure in the edit we have the option. Because that's the other thing people don't realize. Like, you have your strong, clear vision, ideally, of what you want on the day when you're shooting it. But sometimes you want to really make sure you have the option to not bone yourself in the edit room and be like, you know what? We need one that's a little less romantic. We need one that's a little funnier. So in this case, since it's such a vital plot point, I would guess we have a little bit of a quote unquote funnier one or more comedy take. But I noticed that as well, Greg. It was like, that's a serious kiss, man. She not like messing around there. It's very, very kind of intimate. And speaking of inappropriate suits, Joe says that Leslie has a killer dumpster. I probably wouldn't have done that today, but yeah, that's in there. And yeah, we don't often get stories, you know, in this show where Tom has the upper hand over Leslie. And so she's kind of on her back foot. It's kind of, again, we've talked about it on previous episodes. You can't always have Leslie be absolutely right. It's all, you can have her be an underdog, be, you know, have her sort of struggling and figuring stuff out and be awkward. And that's what happens in this episode. So, it's important storytelling. At the cook-off, Chris prepares his usual meticulous turkey burgers for the judges, who happen to be Tom, Donna, Jerry, and Kyle. A crazy scene where Jerry and Kyle are in a scene together. Anyway, they all love it, but give higher praise to Ron's simple hamburger on a bun. Initially surprised, even Chris comes to admit the burger is superior after trying it, so he agrees to reinstate red meat on the commissary menu. Chris later tells Leslie his dating policy has affected others, explaining that he earlier warned Ben not to ask out a coworker. Leslie realizes that that is why Ben rejected her and is glad when Ben asks her to eat in front of her favorite City Hall mural. Leslie deletes her profile on Hoosier Mate and is relieved to learn that Tom has 26 different profiles on the site to match himself with any type of woman, although the one Leslie matched with was his nerd profile.
That's just a great close of the Tom Leslie story, that he has 26 profiles.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like that tag at the end, right? And I actually scrolled, I scrubbed the draft I had that was like, oh, how much of that? And it was, I guess it was already broken in the original outline. And I did also enjoy the Tom N. Haverford stands for nerd. And then his details were, Tom N. Haverford collects globes. His favorite movie is books. It's like that. Those are two crazy jokes that got into the script. So I was like, oh, those are some pretty fucking crazy jokes. I also enjoyed that. So there's a character named Kyle, for those of you who are not fanatics, and you have to be a pretty big fanatic to notice this, but Kyle is the guy who frequently gets shoe shines from Andy at the shoe shine stand, and Andy, even though he's a nice character, often makes fun of Kyle. Kyle is almost the Jerry of the shoe shine stand world. So I don't know why we did this, but in this episode, they're both on the panel together, and we see that Kyle is outranked even by Jerry. So Jerry makes fun of Kyle. So we now see that the pecking order is that Kyle is almost a Jerry to Jerry. So
that's sad.
Just true Parks and Rec minutia. I also, the other thing I wanted to point out was your, and again, I think you call them Alan Yang nightmare phrases sometimes, but this is what you had to say. I humbly place before you my patented East Meets West Traeger Turkey Burger. It's an Asian fusion burger with Willow Farms organic turkey, a toasted Taleggio cheese crisp, I can't even say it, papaya chutney, black truffle aioli with microgreens on a gluten-free brioche bun.
See, I wanted to murder you for writing me that. and it feels like Aaron Sorkin used to do the same thing on West Wing. He used to just take great pleasure in giving me tongue twisters. I mean, everybody had them on that show, but Sam Seaborn really had them, and so I take the challenge. I accept the challenge. I like the challenge. And the thing about those types of lines, if they don't come out fully formed, and you don't ever want to do that acting thing. I think we've talked about this on the show before, where you can see an actor can't hack it.
Yeah,
and they do that kind of stutter with it. They don't literally stutter, but they might like take a breath where they don't need to. But you can just, or kind of hesitate, and you know they can't say the line in one fell swoop.
Looking around, it's like meaningfully, you know, pausing.
Yeah.
But we're ruining movies and TV shows, because you will see this again and again and again. I see it in the edit room. Like, I try to not have those takes. You know, you try to cut around it, but like, it happens all the time. You know, and this, I think this was a fun episode that people remember this cook-off. You know, they kind of, you know, there's a lot of food in Parks and Rec. In fact, I want to shout out a YouTube channel, Binging with Babish. I don't know if you're familiar with this guy, Rolo, but he's a very popular YouTuber, and he makes videos where he cooks the recipes from TV shows and movies.
Wow.
And this guy, I think, is a big Parks and Rec fan, because he's made, look, I'm looking at his channel right now. He did this one, Binging with Babish, Parks and Rec Burger Cook-Off. He did the Swanson from Parks and Recreation. He did the Turf and Turf from Parks and Recreation. He did Ben Wyatt's Calzones from Parks and Rec.
No
he
way!
He did a Paunch Burger. He did the Four Horse Meals of the Egg Porkalypse. And he did the Meat Tornado. And by the way, these videos have millions, like 10 million views. So this dude is legit. Shout out to Babish. If you want to go look at him cook this Chris Traeger burger, you can go to Binging with Babish. B-A-B-I-S-H on YouTube, and you'll find it. But yeah, he has a ton of other content. Like, you know, he'll cook stuff from all these other shows.
By the way, my burger was damn tasty.
Oh, good. That's by the way, this is a weird behind-the-scenes thing. The props department generally has to make these. Like, they make the burgers, or sometimes they sort of outsource it. Like, if you're at a restaurant, they'll have the restaurant cook it. But sometimes they just legit have to make them themselves.
Well, the other thing is, so there's it's called prop food. Like a phone is, anything you have in your hand or you use on camera is called a prop. And the food is a prop. And there's this whole thing of like, is it edible or not edible? So in like, sometimes it's been sitting out for 8 hours, you know, because you're shooting for 8 hours. It's, you're doing a hamburger scene. It's going to take 8 hours. That hamburger's been
sitting.
And so there's a whole thing of like, can you eat it? Should I eat it? Whatever. And I always love actors who just scarf prop food down no matter what. I worked with Danny Glover on Brothers and Sisters. My man Danny would eat anything that wasn't nailed to the floor, and he's skinny as a rail.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Danny, yo, this he's is prop hungry. Food. It's been sitting out for, you know, we did a what is it, paella?
Yeah, seafood paella, some of, you know, Spanish food, classic Spanish rice dish, little socorrada at the bottom.
Imagine seafood paella that has been out under the hot lights of a soundstage.
Yes.
For 12 hours.
Yeah. Setting it up, you know, like all the lighting, you know, it takes a while to shoot.
And Danny's eating it,
getting that room temp calamari in the paella, just housing some squid, just like getting in there. Are there mussels in here? Good, great. How much shellfish in here? The more the better. Room temp, man. That is. And by the way, on this show, you know, Pratt was that guy, right? Pratt would eat 10 burgers for 10 takes. I don't want to lift the veil, but even Ron Swanson, even Nick Offerman would not eat all 10 burgers. He would use the spit cup. You chew it up in the scene and you spit it out. And it's like, that's the normal
thing. They give you a spit cup. There's a
thing. Yeah, they give you a spit cup. It's underneath the table or whatever.
Yeah, it's like when you ever see remember those, I always thought they were disgusting. Carl's Jr. where a girl would eat a really messy burger and it would drip all over her bikini. I never got it. I thought it was so gross.
Yes.
I think Paris Hilton did it.
Paris Hilton. Yeah, absolutely. That was an era. Why was that? Like, look, I guess we're talking about it a decade later, I never found that advertising to be particularly effective. It's like, you know, you want those things separate, maybe. I don't know.
But but you know, you see the actor eating them and they're in slow motion. And then what you don't realize is they're like, cut. And they're like, bleh, and they immediately spit it out in a bucket.
Yes. I will say there's sometimes you're on camera long enough that you have to swallow some of it. So my girlfriend years ago did a Taco Bell commercial and she had to eat a naked chicken chalupa. I believe it was a Super Bowl ad. No, she ate like 36 bites of a naked chicken chalupa. And I was like, oh, this is a. Never again. Never again.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Pratt eats an entire hamburger on screen in this scene. I watched it for research, and as the scene continues and you're debating about the hamburger, he's eating it on screen and you see him just stuff the whole thing. I think swallow it. So people should watch again to see if I'm wrong, but I'm quite confident.
Oh man, that is wonderful. That's wonderful. One final note on this one. I there's some nice acting between Amy and Adam in front of the wildflower mural. That's one of the things that, you know, I was kind of happy to see was there's a little bit from the original draft. Like I think I was like, oh, it's kind of nice if that's her favorite place in the world is a place in this building that she loves, and it's this kind of nice mural. So. We had them paint this kind of nicer mural that was very different from all the horrible racist, sexist ones. And there's, you know, it kind of speaks to who she is as a person, right? She loves work. She loves helping other people. And, you know, there's kind of a underplayed scene between the two of them. So
I love that mural. I have a picture of me, Bill Murray, and Aubrey. Sitting on that mural.
I believe we ended up using it as a background for like publicity shoots and stuff because you certainly can't use any of the other murals. So I feel like because it got written into this script, it actually got made and then it was actually useful as a kind of nice, pretty part of the set. So it's kind of a cool thing and setting up a love story for the ages for seasons to come.
I just wanted to jump in and say that, you know, we've talked about before that you can have great actors together in a scene, but you can't fake chemistry between them, right? And sometimes, like, the chemistry between Aubrey and Chris Pratt was palpable, and it spawned a love story. And there's this undeniable chemistry as actors, I think, as people, just who just like each other's company with Amy and Adam. I thought we could just, you know, explore talking about the fact that that was just a magical combination of two people.
Yeah, that's actually something that I've thought about before because, you know, certainly on shows I've worked on since this, it's like I've often gotten the request from actors like, hey, let's try to cast people that maybe we know already or that we have some chemistry with. And do you find, Rob, that it helps if you know the person, or is it just inscrutable? You just have no idea. Is it totally? And the other thing, sometimes you love each other offset, and then onset there's no chemistry. Like, what have you found?
If we could quantify it and figure it out, everything we would ever do would be a hit.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually a good point. You don't know, right? You don't know until it's literally like. You might not even know on set. You might have to wait till you see the dailies, right? You might have to wait till you see the cut in some instances.
Yes, there is a thing where you may or may not feel it, and then it explodes on camera. It's a weird thing. Most of the time, you know it when you're in the room with somebody, and the first time you act with them, the first time, and you know what I mean. It isn't something that develops. That's what's interesting. It's like if it's there, it's there, but it ain't gonna grow if it ain't there. That's
I
for
believe
sure.
that. And it's something, it's also about, it's ineffable, right? It's how you're talking to each other. It's by the way, sometimes how you even the people look next to each other on screen. Like, it doesn't matter if, you know, whatever. Like, there's just something about...
And it has nothing to do with whether... It often has a lot to do with your personal relationship with that actor, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
Because I've also...
There's exceptions.
I've done scenes with actors who we did not speak.
Yeah.
And, but on camera, it was the shit.
Yeah. So you just don't know. There's legendary stories of actors who hated each other and then they just worked on screen. I mean, you don't want that. I don't want that as a director or showrunner, certainly, right. But that's
it's rare. I do think it's super, super rare. Yeah. I mean, mostly if you have chemistry with someone, you're going to like that person.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes, and circling back to Amy and Adam, they like each other. You know, like they're buddies and, and Adam, you know, I mean, both of them are just such sweethearts. They get along with everybody. And I think there was a mutual respect there where it was like, you know, we're two actors who are super funny and can do the jokes, but also can dial it down and be naturalistic and have fun playing together in scenes. And it just such a sweet pairing. Also, two smaller statured people. Kind of cool. they kind of like two littler people. It's kind of like, I like that, you know. I can say that as someone who's not like a giant himself. But yeah, it's very, very adorable. Very adorable. Good start to that story. Let's move to the oops moment.
Oh,
a couple of them here. Anne isn't wearing gloves when she draws Leslie's blood.
Ew.
So this is very unprofessional.
I mean, I know
so,
they're friends, but come on.
Yeah, it seems like she should probably wear gloves. And also she's like giving her, what is she giving her? Like a cholesterol test or something? I don't know. It's like, what's going on here? Seems like a real, just a cheat to get her in the scene for some reason.
If I remember correctly, when she comes into the scene, she says, "I'm here for the cholesterol thing." In City Hall.
Oh, they don't
something.
Even give. We didn't even give a fuck.
It's so slight. It was like, let's just, I'm here for a cholesterol thing. I am going to draw your blood in your office.
Yes, that's. there's a typo. The second oops moment. There's a typo on the magazine Sewage Joe is reading. It says organic home veggie garden, but veggie is spelled with one G. That I didn't notice. That's really good eagle-eyed oops moment there.
So it's a veggie garden?
I mean, I like to think that it's a fake magazine cover that he probably stapled to pornography.
Yes.
That's my guess that he made up himself. That's probably right. The Sewage Joe way.
Yep.
Episode MVP, most valuable Pawnean. What character moment in this episode sticks out to you and why?
Well, you know, we've been talking about him. I mean, Sewage Joe, again, this is hard because Sewage Joe's great. You know, Aziz has one of maybe his most amazing talking head in the show with talking about foods.
Apps and zerts.
Apps and zerts is hard. It's hard to top. You know, everybody has great moments in this. It's hard to pick an MVP. Can I abstain in the vote?
You can abstain. Well, let the record reflect people making the Wikipedia page for the most valuable Pawnee, and he gets an abstain, which is, that's going to be interesting to see on the Wikipedia page for this. I'll go with our boy Aziz. It's a good talking head for him, and he gets to be in the A story with Leslie and drive the plot a little bit, working on his acting chops, waiting to star his own show later.
That's
so,
right.
Listeners, let us know your MVP by tweeting at Team Coco Podcasts or by using the hashtag Parks and Recollection. Time for a town hall.
Yes.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Town hall, I think you do.
Should we do this at the toilet party?
We should.
Sewage department?
Yes.
All right. Hi, Alan and Rob. First, thanks for making the best podcast about the best show ever. Thank you very much. I've given you a 5-star review and told everyone I know to do so as well. My town hall question comes from listening and rewatching all those early episodes again. Are there any jokes or characters, i.e. Greg Pikaitis, Venezuelan Sister City, Fairway Frank, Carl Lorthner, etc., from the first couple seasons that you wish you had brought back or done a callback to in the later seasons?
Ooh, good
Thanks
question.
Thanks again for being amazing. Great question. You are all legends. Sincerely, Kevin Wheeler. Thank you, Kevin. Very sweet email, Kevin. Thank you very much.
I love that.
And very good question, because there's innumerable, right? I mean...
Oh, I would have loved to have done more with Venezuelan Sister City and Fairway Frank. Those two.
Yes.
I mean, Fairway Frank is again, one of the great Pawneans. Are animals Pawneans?
There's so many animals in the show. Like, yeah, I think he qualifies. I mean, could there have been an all-animal episode?
Yes,
we have
there
Fairway
could.
Frank, we have Lil Sebastian, we got the gay penguins, we got, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, one of the tricks in the show was that we would take current events, political topics, things that were sort of controversial, and then we just graft them onto animals. So we like gay penguins, or like death penalty with a possum. So yeah, Fairway Frank. I also, we love Armisen. Like, Armisen could have come back. We could have had Forte back. We could have had his character come back. Yeah, Greg Pikaitis. I feel like we talked about maybe Greg Pikaitis coming back, and then you realize the actor's like 17 or something. So it's like he like ages out of it. Greg, can you remember any other ones? We definitely talked about, like, we didn't have like this. I mean, that was kind of the Halloween trend, right? We had two, you know, Greg Pikaitis episodes, right?
Yeah, I think Greg shows up again.
Yeah, he shows up one more time. I remember the actor's name for some reason. I believe his name was Cody Klopp. I don't know why I remember that. It's okay.
Wait a minute. So for the first time in history, the actor's name was funnier than the name of the character on the show?
That's maybe why I remember him. We're like, his name is Cody Klopp? It's almost, exactly. It's almost like a Parks and Rec name himself, a Parks and Rec character. But yeah, it's a really good question. I'm trying to think if there's any other deep cuts we like.
I will say this, which is that it's interesting which characters I think have lived on in a greater sense than when we were writing it. Like, I feel like, and now watching it, every time Oren pops up, he has this like amazing mythic status. And I just wish he were in more episodes because he's so funny every time. Like, characters like that. And also, for what it's worth, like, Detlef Schrempf really cracked me up when he was on the show. Right. And I know that we got him back for Entertainment 720, but, characters like that I like to see pop up who just have this weird infamy on.
By the way, there's an all animal episode we should have done, and there's an all NBA player episode we could have done with Detlef Schrempf, with Roy Hibbert, and with Chris Bosh, who, by the way, does not play himself in the show, plays an Eagleton basketball player. So it could have been a whole episode of nearly 7 foot or seven.
Oh, and
don't
forget Reggie Wayne and Andrew Luck.
And yes, an all athlete. Yeah, just have them in there. And Costanzo, I think, was in there too. Yeah. A lot of athletes on the show. That's it, man. We ran the gamut. We ran the gamut. So thank you very much, Kevin, for that question. I hope we answered it in a satisfactory way. And thank you for telling all your friends. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Subscribe where you get podcasts, like Kevin did. 5-star review on Apple. And thanks to Schulte and Greg. Goodbye from Pawnee.
We'll see you next week.
Parks and Recollection is produced by Greg Levine and me, Rob Schulte. Our coordinating producer is Lisa Berm. The podcast is executive produced by Alan Yang for Alan Yang Productions, Rob Lowe for Low Profile, Jeff Ross, Adam Sachs, and Joanna Solitaroff at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Stitcher. Gina Batista, Paula Davis, and Britt Kahn are our talent bookers. The theme song is by Mouse Rat, a.k.a. Mark Rivers, with additional tracks composed by John Danick. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Parks and Recollection.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.